outside your window may not be great, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're over the moon to bring you everything is super coverage of Moon Knight Episode 3, The Friendly Type. I am Josh Wigler. I'm the friendly type. My co-host is not. That's Kevin Mahadeo.
Not very friendly. Also, we're not over the moon, Josh. We're over the sun as we're causing a total eclipse of the heart right now.
Yeah. Did I miss an opportunity to record a total eclipse of the heart parody?
Turn around, moon night.
Is it too late to record that and have that be the outro for this week's podcast? We'll see. We'll see if he can't pull it together, folks. But
Turnaround Moon Knight is right there.
I know it is. I know. We'll see if we can't pull it together. We are up to episode 3 of Moon Knight. We've gone to Egypt, Kevin.
That's a halfway point, isn't it?
We're halfway through the show, baby. Mark Wild. And Steven working together. Khonshu has been entombed stoned. In stone.
Khonshu is stoned, guys.
Yo, Khonshu is so stoned right now. Yeah, that's happening. And so much more is going on here as it seems once again the villains, as they often do, Kevin, have the upper hand.
It's literally the point for that. It's the halfway point of the show. That's what happens. It's if you look at any story arc, we're on the midpoint, which means the hero has to be at his lowest low, which is where we got Mark and Steven, I guess, but there might be someone else.
There could be
He could
another...
be very high right now.
Yes.
As high as Khonshu is stoned.
There could be another. Do you have thoughts on who the third could possibly be?
I mean, I feel like there is a third personality in the comics, right? Like, there's like another.
Yeah,
person.
I think that, you know, a bunch of different versions of Moon Knight have happened. I think that there is like the New York taxi cab driver isn't either one of the guys that we know on the show. Is that going to be anticlimactic if the other version of Moon Knight is just a taxi cab driver?
It won't be if he does like a Tom Hardy style New York.
Yeah. Hey, I'm driving here.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm
Where
here
you
for
go?
It.
Brooklyn Tunnel, all right.
I'm here for it. I'm pretty on board with basically whatever they want to throw at us right now, as long as Oscar Isaac is getting to do Oscar Isaac things, such as switch hitting between Mark and Steven in the blink of an eye, or even more amazingly, at one point in this episode, switching between Mark and Khonshu as he goes full Avatar Aang in front of the rest of the gods. A really fun episode. I thought that I think in the lead up to this, some of the things that I was seeing was like Moon Knight, it's got like shades of the Mummy. And I was like watching the first couple of episodes, like, I don't know that I totally see that. And this episode, yeah, I get the Mummy now.
I got the Mummy so much that I was mad.
It's like I got those notes of Mummy in the bag.
But like, I was so furious that like they met the gods and none of them was any, where's Arnold Vosloo? He's not doing anything. Put him in there. Put John Hannah. For a second, I thought that was John, like a young John Hannah. And I was like, is that John Hannah? And I would have been ecstatic. Instead, it's just a guy who kind of looks like John Hannah.
Give us John Hannah and Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz, but not the other one, Maria Bello.
Yeah, sorry, Maria Bello.
And give us, Jet Li and Arnold Vosloo, you cowards. Do it.
Don't forget Oded Fehr. Let's get
yes.
him in there too, please.
Get Oded.
Get me
all
that gift of the Magi.
Give us the full squad, please, as we are we're getting some Mummy in our Moon Knight, and I'm not mad about it, Kevin. Although I suppose we've had Mummy in our Moon Knight a few times already. Isn't that who Steven is calling multiple points in the first episode?
He's calling Mummy. Yeah.
He's like,
the Mummy to tell her what's going on.
Cheers, Mummy. I love you, Mummy.
Mummy, my day didn't go well.
Right? Isn't that who he's talking to? Anyway.
That's a wrap on that joke.
That's us being pretty stupid over here on the Everything is Super podcast. If you are not subscribed to the Everything is Super podcast feed, we recommend you do it. That's how you're going to make sure you'll never miss an episode of the show, especially as we are covering Moon Knight weekly right now. You can get feedback into us as well, super@postshowrecaps.com. You can also talk to us in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord if you sign up to become a patron of Post Show Recaps to support the podcast directly at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You can hang out with Kevin and myself and the whole Everything is Super community that's in there. And in addition to talking to us, you also get access to our coverage of Daredevil Season 3. Kevin and I are currently rewatching Season 3 of Daredevil. The first podcast we ever did together was Daredevil Season 1. And for the patrons of Post Show Recaps, we are doing the third season of Daredevil after all these years now that it's on Disney Plus. You can listen to that for free if you wish at patreon.com/postshowrecaps, just on the website. Look for those Daredevil podcasts and you can just hit play, and that's totally fine. If you want it conveniently nestled into your podcast feed, become a member of the Post Show Recaps patron community at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Kevin, in addition to the mummy vibes of it all, and so many of the other things that we've already covered just in terms of saying things that happen on the show, how about you say to me how you feel about the things that are happening on the show 3 weeks in?
You know, they're fine. I know that a lot of people are, as we've said, over the moon about the show, and I don't dislike it. I like it.
Are you kind of just on the moon?
I'm on the moon. I've landed on the moon, which honestly is
worst
not
places
a bad
to be.
Place
yeah,
to be. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good place to be. It's better than here. so like, you know, that's something, right? But like, thus far, I'm like, yeah, this show's fine. I'm enjoying it. It's good stuff. I like Oscar Isaac's doing the, you know, Oscar's Isaac doing the multiple selves thing. I think it's very fun. There was some stuff they did here. I really like this episode. There are some parts of this episode where I was just like, but what was the point of that? But overall, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it's not blowing me away, I would say. And I think, you know, we talked about this. It might hit that once I finished. Once we've gotten to the end game, so to speak, it would feel like a really full told story. But I feel like the bits and pieces of this one are chopped up in a way that feels off. It doesn't feel to me like very, very, serialized episodic in a way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wish it was binged on this one is where I'm
We did talk about that. I do think I am feeling distinct episodes, though. So that's not an issue for me at all. I do think that when you're making a movie into a TV show, which is sort of how we've seen enough of these Marvel Cinematic, if we've seen enough of these Marvel Cinematic Universe shows to know that that's kind of the vibe with most of them, is that it feels like a movie that is being chopped up into episodes, or it's being approached like the scale of story, the scope of the story, the reach of it feels like it could have been, you know, a 2 hour film or 2.5 hour film. And so I think that sometimes you do in these Marvel shows get some like padded out sequences. I think that maybe some of the stuff that goes on with Anton Mogart, who we're going to talk about in a lot of different ways, unfortunately some tragic ways later when we get into the episode, that some of that maybe felt a little overly long to me to a certain degree. And a couple of the other scenes, like maybe like finding the star map, just felt like it was going for an extra minute or two. So I definitely feel that, and that's probably my biggest gripe, is maybe some pacing stuff that I think comes with the territory for how the MCU has approached television. I kind of wish that they just sort of approached it a little bit more like it was television, and I don't know that they've fully clocked that yet. That being said, Oscar Isaac continues to delight me each and every week, so as long as that's continuing to happen, I'm probably going to be mostly pretty happy about this.
I like the switches they did this time, right? Because in the first episode, we saw those moments of Steven blacking out and Mark taking over, and we didn't get to see the Mark parts, and now we get to, you know, not see the Steven parts or someone else parts, which I thought were interesting. I like that. I like those pieces they did. I liked seeing Steven in the mirror. I thought that was very fun. I liked the God stuff. I thought was interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Again, I don't want to be like, I don't like the show. I think it's bad. That's not the case.
It's just not like a next level TV experience for you or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
The way that everyone was, I think, has been talking about it too in the lead up really made me like expect something like really big. Like I don't think this is hitting me the way like Hawkeye did or WandaVision up until the end. You know, I think there's levels of those shows that I was every week like, ooh, this is cool. Like Loki, sure. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think this is there yet for me.
That's fine. It's got 3 more weeks to get there for you. Yeah. So let's see if it can't do it. All right. So let's dive into the episode, The Friendly Type. When we begin, we are not with Mark. We are not with Steven. We are with Layla. As Layla knows where Mark has gone, she wants to track him down. She's just not totally getting what the hell is going on with her husband, her potentially soon to be ex-husband, Kevin. So she wants to go after Mark / Steven, who is going after the Scarab right now. But going back to Egypt sounds like maybe it's kind of dangerous for her that she is a known quantity in these parts.
Yeah, she can't show her face, right? It's very, it makes you wonder, like, what happened? It was just like, I partied too hard in Egypt. I'm not allowed back in that state. It's like the Simpsons episode where they're no longer allowed in Florida and stuff like that, right? Like, what does she do in Egypt?
Yeah. I don't know. Are we going to get a flashback episode for Layla? I don't think we've got time for a flashback episode for Layla.
We got time for exposition. I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah, I really love what Mae Calumway is doing, though. I think that she's so good as this character. I've really enjoyed her. She's been a real surprise just to even have her on the show, as I talked about last week. Once that was sort of settled, just like has been like a delight to see on the show. I thought she had a really fun week this time around. When we go to Egypt, man, Arthur Harrow just like hit fast forward on the show, right? Like Ethan Hawke is at the tomb of Ammit
in the second
scene of episode 3. Yeah,
fine with it. You got the magic scarab compass. Use it, right? Like use the scarab compass, and he did, and he showed up to like the dig site. What's really weird is also like. I don't know. I guess it's hard to tag someone and just follow them. Because, like, for a show where it's like, we got to find out where he's located, he shows up many places. And part of me, he's right there. Just, like, put a tracer on him. I don't know. It was a lot of effort.
Like, you know where you could hide the tracer? You could just hide it in his shoes. He'll never notice.
He'll never feel it down there.
In fact,
for the sound this time, and I caught it, by the way.
If you put the tracer in his shoes, Kevin... Potentially because the glass is cutting up the feet, maybe the tracer ends up like
right up in him. Right?
Yeah, gets embedded in his foot, and now like you're staying really on target on Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, and I just feel like that's the solution. And they literally moved the heavens and the stars to find this tomb, as opposed to just being like, I don't know, turn on Find My Phone for him.
Yeah, I have issues with Khonshu, who I love as a character and think is ridiculous and great. But Khonshu, I get why you've been exiled from the gods. You kind of suck.
Yeah, you're not good at it. I've got some thoughts about that part of the game, too.
Yeah, very good. I guess I'm cool with Arthur finding Ammit's tomb in episode 3. You know, let's just get there and get that stuff going. But he's still keeping a secret from us. The show is still keeping a secret from us as far as where that is ultimately leading. But part of me does kind of lament not having like the Last Crusade quality of it, Kevin, of like, let's, you know, like converge at Ammit's tomb at the end of this thing, I think could have been fun. Maybe it's still in the offing. Who knows?
Yeah, inside Ammit's tomb, right? That's where the convergence can happen. Even in Temple, man, I was just going to go through all of them. In Raiders, you have a situation where, you know, they had to do some digging before they could actually get in there.
Yeah. Have you seen Everything Everywhere All at Once yet, Kevin?
No, I want to very, very badly.
Have you heard that Kihi Kwan, who was Short Round in Temple of Doom, has made his return to acting and is the male lead of Everything Everywhere All at Once?
No.
He's excellent.
I've seen that trailer. I had no idea. This is like, oh God, this makes me even more excited to watch this.
He's very, very great in it. And I would love to see this be like a really big moment for him moving forward. That's really neither here nor there. But that movie is great. Deals with a multiverse of madness of sorts.
I know. I have so many feelings. I have so many thoughts. I'm really pumped.
It's really weird.
I recommend it once I've watched it.
I recommend it. It's supremely strange. All right. So let's go back to Mark, who is just running on rooftops, true superhero stuff. He really does that. What's Brendan Fraser's character's name in The Mummy again? Do you remember?
O'Connell.
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna keep calling him Brendan Fraser in The Mummy. I feel like he's got some Brendan Fraser in The Mummy energy as he's going from rooftop to rooftop here, and tracking people down. Except one thing that I think he's gonna do that Brendan Fraser wouldn't do is like be totally fine killing people. Although, is it him?
Fraser definitely shot a bunch of people in The Mummy. What are you talking
about? But was he totally fine with it?
He seemed fine with it. It was pop style, man. People died in that era, and it's fine. And the heroes are just like, oh, yep, he was a bad guy.
People died in that era. It was fine, he says. Incredible. But we are getting some conflict.
Yes, they're all very bad.
We're getting some conflict between... between Mark and Steven, right? Where Steven is seeing Mark in reflections. He says, don't kill them. Don't do this. And Steven is the one who is able to wrest the body away from Mark a couple of times. First, he's trying to get him to the airport in a cab. And then later, he's going to wake up on the top of the roof. And Steven is going to suggest that this wasn't him who moved him here. When Mark wakes up with a dagger in a guy's chest. We'll talk about that for sure. One thing I just want to remark upon that I remark Spector, yes, is I really like that we are doing this opposite thing this week, where we are getting really connected to Mark, I think, this time around, and seeing we're rooted in Mark. So when Steven, even though we've been so invested in Steven, takes over, we don't get to see that stuff. I appreciate that. I think that was a wise choice.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I really like it. A lot of the chase stuff was weird because I liked how they played it off, because like he gets control of him as he holds up a knife to one of the bad guys, people that he wants to interrogate, like their throat. And then he snaps out of it, and he's in the cab, and he's just like, where am I going? It's like the airport. And I just love that the cab, either he just got into the cab, or there's just so much traffic there, because the people he was beating up are like 2 feet ahead of him. As he like moves 2 feet in the cab, they're just like, oh, hey, it's us again. So I'm assuming he just came down there. He just reached the bottom of the building to get into this cab.
So Mark is going to wake up at like this cliff's edge. He has a knife through a man's heart. He wakes up to that. There are other people who are dead. None of this is great. And Mark is going to like blame Steven. Like, what did you do? And Steven's like, I didn't do that. It's not up to me. What's going on here? Is this a third yet to be revealed Oscar Isaac? Is this Khonshu directly? Is he able to kind of like settle down, boys, and like go to your room it?
Definitely think it's a third personality for sure.
If it's just Khonshu able to do that, and he's not just completely sustaining control over the body, that feels like probably a really bad look for Khonshu.
Yeah, I definitely think it's not Khonshu. I definitely think it's like a third personality, possibly a serial killer, or maybe he is a taxi driver, but it's closer to the movie Taxi Driver than it is like an actual taxi driver, right? Like maybe that's the interpretation, is that the final personality is like very unhinged. Blanking on that character's name now, but maybe like that.
Travis Bickle.
Thank you. Travis Bickle.
I had a thought that, is there a world where Khonshu, whether it's Khonshu specifically or just another person who exists alongside Mark and Steven, is, to your point, whether unhinged or not, is villainous? Like, could we get to a place where Oscar Isaac is both protagonist and antagonist on this show?
I would love that. You know, I think it's really interesting, and that would make this character a little more dynamic. I love the Steven and Mark stuff of it all, but I think there is a small piece missing, and that could be a really cool piece. I throw it back to one of my favorite comic runs for a while, is X-Factor by Peter David. There's a character called Multiple Man in the comics. His deal is that he can split himself into multiple for like big copies of himself, and now there's more of them. Peter David introduced this interesting idea where every time he splits apart, a part of him, the new one, has like as an embodiment of part of his personality or a subconscious part of him. And like one of them was straight up a murderer, because all of us has like a little bit of violence in us. So what happens when that gets personified? So I thought that was really fascinating and really cool. So it would be interesting to see that here, if one of his personalities, if one of Mark's other selves, was antagonistic or straight up villain, how would that work out? And I think that is pretty cool. I think that would be a really interesting dynamic to see between the three of them.
So Mark is like, listen, man, Khonshu, I'm trying, dude. Like, I'm really trying. I'm hunting people down. I'm doing what I can.
Try harder. Hold him over a cliff.
And Mark's like, well, and that guy just like cuts his tether down and just, you know,
parameter. Oh, I thought he'd talk. Which is a first instance of Khonshu being bad at this. Just
Khonshu
like, oh.
sucks at this. Khonshu is so bad at this, and it's great that he is, I think, where he's like, I don't think we should talk to the other gods. If we do, they're not going to love to see me right now. I thought about it for half a second, and actually, you're right. We should probably summon the gods.
I will go in there with some, you know, some humility and grace, and then he just starts shouting at them.
So he changes the sky. He total eclipses of the heart, a total eclipse of the mark.
Yeah,
is that it?
There it is. I totally get to the mark.
And so he is going to send up the signal flare, as it were, the lunar signal flare, and an assemblage of the gods is going to occur. They're all able to like convene in this one location, in the chamber of the gods, and I think it's within one of the great.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He's able to do that, and like all, despite the fact that all of these different avatars are all over the world, they're all able to converge in the same place. So I don't know if we're if everything is connected, man, about the MCU. Is this like some sling ring type action? I don't know.
Nexus point of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, I love mythology. I love the idea of, you know, avatars of the gods. I love seeing the gods, seeing them interact. And this was really cool to me. Like, this aspect was really fascinating and really interesting. I wish we had a little more of this sort of stuff. I mean, that's just me personally, because like I'm so into it. Like, what are they all up to? Like, what's going on here? I hope this doesn't end with like all these gods dying and I just be like, well, that's a waste.
Yeah.
But I find that really cool, and I find that really fascinating, right? We got the Norse pantheonic system. We've talked about this. We've got the Egyptian ones. Like, dude, the Greek and Hercules is right around the corner.
Yeah. So he's Mark is gonna be like ushered in to meet all these people, and Khonshu's like, all right, you'll get to tell them about Arthur and his his quest to serve Ammit. You gotta be ironclad. We have to have an ironclad case. There could be no holes in the case, otherwise this isn't gonna go great. And if they get mad at me, they may just encase me in stone at some point. You do not want to see me when I'm stoned. So they go in. And all of the avatars speak on behalf of the gods, literally. And so now Oscar Isaac gets to play a god. And I thought that it was very funny, considering that Oscar Isaac once played a famous Egyptian X-Men character, Apocalypse, who is godly in his own right. And here he is once again in a pyramid getting to do the godly Marvel Comics thing. I enjoyed that as a meta narrative. That was fun.
Like I said, though, just very loudly, right?
Yeah.
I like that his Khonshu is, again, Khonshu is very much like, we got to go in there, we got to keep our cool, present the case, have the evidence, and instead he's just like, you guys all suck! All left! I'm still here doing stuff! And it's just like, wow, that was just your opening.
Yeah, he really takes charge in a way that is kind of antithetical to the delicacy of the mission. He really goes, Khonshu! Jenkins.
Yes.
did he just go in there?
Barreled in head first.
Damn it, Khonshu. He just like Leroy Jenkins is this thing, and it doesn't go great, especially when Arthur shows up. And he's like,
Love that they just caught, like, the gods are just like, hey, get Arthur in here. And he's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he just rolls up and he's like, oh, man, you can't trust the moon god. The moon god sucks. And I should know. I worked with him. Moon god's terrible. And they're like, it's a pretty good point.
And he's taking advantage of this poor, poor, mentally ill man.
Yes.
And they're just like, are you mentally ill? And Mark's just like, I mean, kind of. And they're just like, that's evidence enough, I guess.
Yeah. So they're like, I don't think that this is something that we need to be overly concerned about, is basically their take. Mark is pissed about this, or Khonshu specifically is pissed about this. He is like ravaging them about how they're like on their god plane, which has a name that I didn't quite clock. Is like maybe like Overvoid, I think might have been the name.
I missed the name of the god plane.
There's some god plane where they all exist. How many god planes does it take to screw in a Marvel Cinematic Universe? There's so many of them. It's like, well, we tried. And it's almost a total wash.
We did our best, did we?
It's almost a total wash until one of the avatars, I believe her name is Yatsil, will come up to Mark and be like, there is another way through this. There's this sarcophagus that you could track down, that you could find, and it may or may not have a secret map that's going to take you directly to the tomb that you need to get to. Though, by the way, just getting to the tomb at this point, Ethanog already got there.
It's a very weird thing to also be like, hey, there's this sarcophagus, it'll tell you where it is. And it's just like, if there was this other thing, like, why weren't you all also searching for this? I mean, I guess they didn't know about it, but like, it's very weird that they were like, we gotta get the scarab. The scarab is the thing. And even to the point that, Hera is just like, gotta get that scarab. But if there was another option, What? Why not have gone for that other option? Like, why would you only go to one
because
thing? Like, you have to have multiple paths. Come
because
on,
Khonshu sucks, and his social game is trash. He's the Russell Hance of Egyptian gods, and he has no social game, and so he's totally disconnected from anybody who could give him any real information.
It's true. He was, you know, he tried that same strategy once, and the gods were like, you need to leave.
Yeah.
And then he tried the same strategy again, and this time
again,
like,
in the same episode.
Go.
He's going to do the constellation trick twice, especially after, like, now, Khonshu, if you mess with the stars one more time like that, we're going to put you in stone. He's like, all right, I won't do it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to see what happens.
Ridiculous.
I'm going to literally make everyone on the planet poop themselves at once. Because, like, what a sight that would be. I feel like everyone in a planet would be freaking the F out.
About the,
like,
sky?
Yeah. Yes! You could, like, oh my, like, this world has gone through so much shit already. If that starts, people would be rioting everywhere.
I don't know, Kevin. I think at this point, maybe the MCU is a little desensitized to all of this sensational stuff.
At the very least, the Avengers should be alerted.
They blipped
and
out,
just
bro.
Like, what, you know, is happening?
Fair enough. All right, so on the other side of the pyramid, Kevin, we are going to have a reteaming of Mark and Layla. And he's not thrilled that she's here. But she says, you're going to need me. You're not from here. I am. I can sort of negotiate some of the social politics here that you're not getting any hits on. And so Mark is like, okay, all right, fine. I guess we're gonna do this. And so he has a lead on the sarcophagus. It is going to be in the possession of a character named Anton Mogart, who is the Midnight Man from Marvel Comics. You know Midnight Man, Kevin?
I do not.
He looks cool. I was looking at some pictures
here now.
Midnight Man is a cool name. It's surprising that Midnight Man is an obscure character, because that should be pretty cool. Looking at the Midnight Man Wikipedia entry for the comic book version of the character, at least, and he's kind of got like Black Panther vibes. He's got like a cool sort of midnight blue aesthetic, but like the mask and the cape, and like even like he's got like his hand outstretched that kind of reminds me of T'Challa's clawed hand. He looks really, really cool. This character is going to be played by an actor whose name I am going to do a terrible job of pronouncing, and I apologize in advance, Gaspard Ulliel, who tragically died some months ago, and this show is going to be among his final work. So the actor who plays Anton Mogart, unfortunately, is no longer with us. He died in a skiing accident, I believe, towards the end of 2021. So just a really tragic, accident, and just very, very sad. And I really like him on the show. I think like he has this presence, like sort of this really menacing presence right away when he shows up here. So just such a shame. I think he really stood out for me in this episode for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that is awful. Like, that does really, really suck. And obviously is a massive, massive tragedy. I would be curious where the character would have gone. This sequence was, for me, a bit odd.
It was January of this year, just to correct the record.
Very recently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This sequence was odd to me, only in terms of just, like, how it all played out at the end. I thought it was interesting when it was going, but I think for me, the moment Harrow showed up, I just had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I thought the performance was great. I thought the intrigue of it all at the beginning was really cool, right? Like, it is part of that, like, almost mummy style of, like, we're getting the clues. We have to go meet this person who has this ancient thing that we got to solve this puzzle. All of that I was into. But then when Harrow showed up, I was just kind of like, it took a turn.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love what Ethan Hawke is doing with Harrow, but like, it is just another like, I'm everywhere, man. You can't get rid of me. I'm
again,
always
like,
gonna be right there.
What are you doing, dude? Like, you know they're looking for you and where you're going. Why would you give them so many opportunities? I guess you know they're bad at this, but
I think Arthur Harrow is never gonna turn down an opportunity to show up in a scene and go, the Scarab, Scarab. You want to see the Scarab?
I'm gonna destroy the sarcophagus with the possible evidence, which also, I mean, like, I don't know. that's we'll get there in a second.
Sure, sure. So Layla and Mark are going to take a boat ride to get to Mogart. She's going to be like, "Hey, don't you like me?" And he's like, "No."
Okay.
That's basically it.
Yeah,
he's going to say no.
I don't. I don't like you. I never liked you.
Oh man.
Gosh, Josh.
You'd be better off with Steven with a V from the gift shop. She's like, I know. I'm figuring that out.
I think she would. This is one of these moments that I have a problem.
Of course.
With what could happen here. Because I think this is a typical story point. I feel like this is a story point that is written by many a man. Where it's just like, don't you understand? I'm being mean because I love you. And it's just like, dude, she should leave you.
Yes.
After all of this is done, after she finds out what's going on, and your reason of, oh, I just love you so much that I had to be mean to you and had to divorce you and had to put you through emotional pain, get the F out of here. Absolutely not. Layla should just be like, oh, you're a piece of shit. And no, unless you're Steven full time, you're an asshole. I don't want to be with you. And we're done. I am. And it's like this divorce is happening. Because like this happens so many times in these shows. And they treat it like this weird romantic thing. And it's like you're putting this woman through emotional turmoil. That's not okay. And these shows treat it like it's fine. And it's because like I think it's like a dude thing, right? Like this is how guys write romances half the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like absolutely not. Layla, you deserve better. You deserve a Steven. Unless it's Steven full time, leave. You're done. Yeah.
I don't think that that's unfair. Part of me roots for Layla and Steven. Part of me roots for, some sort of magic power to encounter Steven that can separate him and Mark so that they don't have to timeshare the body so much.
Multiple Oscars.
I think that's fine. I think that there's a little bit of this, like, all right, give me the body stuff. That just like the phrasing is like freaking me out a little bit.
Give me the body.
All right, you can have the body now. Let him have the body.
It puts the body in the basket.
No. Keep your lotion away. So they're going to show up at Anton Mogart's sprawling chateau. We get a little bit of Layla backstory. There's this like guard here who she talks to, and she's like, hey, what's up? Been a minute since I've seen you in. She looks directly at the camera.
Madripoor.
Yes. Which, if you have forgotten, Madripoor we have seen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe previously on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Kevin, do you think Layla is connected to the Power Broker?
I hope we never talk about the Power Broker again, honestly.
We're doing it right now.
I don't know. I mean, yes, probably, right? Like, Layla and Mark seem to be the type that need information and need things at specific times, and the Power Broker's entire deal is that they're able to provide it. So I think connections to the Power Broker totally make sense and totally tracks. I think that maybe she doesn't know directly who the Power Broker is, but I feel like she has had dealings with the Power Broker.
Yeah. What if she is the Power Broker behind the Power,
the power broker?
Broker?
Good God.
Yeah. You think it's good or no?
No. The regular Power Broker wasn't good. This is not going to be good either.
All right. So they're going to get access to the sarcophagus because Mogart is fine with allowing this to happen, but he's got one eye on this so-called Rufino Estrada is the name of the character. Could Rufino Estrada end up being the actual third identity, Kevin?
No. I don't think so. I don't think that's the third identity. I do think it's funny that Mogart is just like, yeah, I got a cool sarcophagus. You want to check it out? Like that's sort of the attitude that it almost has, which is interesting.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that's the ego element, right? Because like it's this expensive thing that you probably shouldn't let people look at. But like he seems to be the type of if you own it and don't show it off, like why have it in a weird way?
Sure.
Like I feel like that's his attitude.
Yeah. So Mark is gonna take a look. But Mark is good at punchy kickies, and Steven is the brains of the operation.
Absolutely. And Steven's just like, oh, you idiot. I know what it is.
Let me in. Let me have the body.
I can figure this out. Like, in an escape room, just someone yelling from outside the room. Like, no, you idiot.
Yeah. Mark's not down to give over the body because he was trapped in the reflection for so long, and he doesn't want to do that again. So Steven is going to begrudgingly help him anyway and basically tell him, like, it's a code. Fold the things.
Yeah, exactly. It's like an escape room.
And before he can, you know, solve the puzzle and escape the room, as you mentioned, Arthur Harrow shows up and he wants to offer up the scarab. Why settle for a clue when you can have the treasure?
This is where it gets really wild to me because, like, the whole thing is that Mogar is mad because Layla's lying to him about who Steven/Mark really is. He yells about, like, you're talking to me about trust. And then a stranger shows up out of nowhere with a glowing cane and starts doing some, like, weird chanting. And he's just like, but this guy I trust. Is that the sound of are you walking on glass? That's fine. I trust a man that walks on glass.
He's like, dude, you got something in your shoe. He's no. Shh, no, I don't.
That part is to me where it turns because I'm like, well, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, we need an action moment, so we're going to have an action moment. And I'm like, okay, cool. Because, like, logically, I was just like, this does not track. Like, what's happening? Like, why?
Sure.
And he just, that's the other part, right? Harrow blows up the sarcophagus and is just like, well, see you later.
So Harrow's going to show up to this guy and he's going to give him the cane and the cane starts to glow. And so Mogart's like, cool, glowing cane. All right, I'm on your team now. And then Mark is going to summon the suit, but that's not enough for Mogart to then be like, oh, wait, no, you've got cool powers.
Right, exactly.
I'm on your side now.
Like, you know? You're like, oh, glowy cane, cool. Like, I'm on your side. It's just like, oh, look at that suit. That should have been like, oh, no, I'm with this guy.
I'm with this guy now.
They shot at him and nothing happened. That's awesome.
You know? Beyond the fact that they shot at him, Kevin, the much more shocking thing that happens is there's an unintentional handoff between Moon Knight and Mr. Knight, between Mark and Steven that happens. And so in the middle of the fight, we're now with Mr. Knight, who is just so great. That costume is so lovely.
It's a wonderful costume. I absolutely love it.
And there's a moment, Kevin, where I'm like, no, the suit is in danger. Put the suit away because he gets impaled. With these spear-tipped skewers or whatever the hell these things are. And then he switches back to Moon Knight mode and he's continuously getting impaled. And I guess Khonshu talked about you would be nowhere without my healing suit. But man,
yeah, I'm glad they threw that in, right?
That suit, it better be like a back-to-tank in suit form because it is. Those are some serious injuries he suffers.
For sure. And this is also where I have a question about the suit's capabilities because he blocked bullets with the suit and then threw those bullets back at the other people.
Yes.
But then he then gets stabbed through the back with a spear. And I have questions about how that functions.
Yeah.
Where if you can't get shot, but the spear, it's just going to impale you.
Yeah, it will. And it does.
There's a lot of questions about this scene. This scene was, again, it was a little off for me.
Also, he gets freaked out that something bad is going to happen to Layla, and so he has his takes his mask off. But man, if you're going to be in the middle of combat, put your helmet on.
It is such a moment of just
it's
like, well,
so superhero-y. Yeah,
we got to see the actor's face because how else would we know they're upset?
Yeah. So you know, cool to see Oscar Isaac in the suit. You know, he looks great.
He looks great. Fantastic. Honestly, I think he looks better like without that mask and just that suit. Like, he looks awesome. Like,
yes.
I think I said like the Mr. Knight suit is my favorite, and I think that still may be the case, but like just him in the Moon Knight suit without the mask, very, very
He
close
looks
second.
Dope.
It's a
he
good
does.
Look.
It may be stupid because like wear your mask, man. You can't be killed if they like shoot you in the face or they stab you in the face. You'll make it.
Yeah.
Keep the mask on.
Keep the mask on.
Never take it off, in fact, maybe. Maybe you live your entire life in the suit.
Just be protected at all times.
It's a thought.
The problem is if his suit's always white, it's going to be noticeable, right? I don't think he can color change the suit.
It would be hard for him to go to the steakhouse again.
Yes. It white stains very easily, you know?
Yes, that would be tough. So he
made from the material that the same thing like Princess Leia and Amidala, right?
Yeah. So he and Layla are gonna get away, and he's gonna like throw one of like the moonerangs at Mogart on the way out, but we don't really get to see what happens to him. Hopefully we get to see him more in this show. I would really love that. But Mark and Layla are going to, they're going to leave. And Layla's like, this is so much. It's like, I never knew you at all, Mark. And he goes, you didn't. You never did it.
Right? Like, this is what I mean. He's just a dick. Also, now that you mentioned the Midnight Man thing, there is a scene, I think, as they're leaving, Khonshu is standing on a clock saying tick-tock, and it is pointing to midnight. So I feel like this was very intentional.
Yeah. Is he going to choose the Midnight Man as, like, his new avatar or something like that? I wonder. So they're going to get out to the desert, and Mark is going to like lay all the stuff out on the ground. He's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And Steven's like, let me out. I do. I know exactly what to do.
I got it.
Yeah. It's like, shut up, Steven. You're in the gift shop. You don't need to be here for this.
What do you think I was doing in the gift shop? All they have is those little puzzles. I know how to put this one together.
Yeah, and so Lei was like, please give him the body. And I think Khonshu has the line of, like, I summon the suit, you summon the worm.
Yes.
And he warns him that Steven would never give the body back. But Mark does it anyway, to Mark's credit. Mark tears the mirror off the car and just, like, marches forward and looks at it and goes, take the body. And then it's done. And it's a great all-done-in-camera transformation, and it's pure acting. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's the stuff where, like, any gripes aside that I have, I'm just really enjoying what Oscar Isaac is doing. He even had that in the God Chamber, you know, when he's going from Khonshu to Mark, was like a little hokey and silly and ridiculous, but he's clearly just having so much fun playing these characters.
For sure.
And seeing like a master of his craft like Oscar Isaac, who I'm so glad that he has just over the last many years now had moment after moment after moment. He deserves all of it. He's really, really, really good. There was a time where like he was in the running for the Bourne Legacy, the movie that ultimately went to Jeremy Renner, and they ended up just like putting him in the movie in like sort of this small role. Should have just put him in the movie as the main Jeremy Renner guy, and I bet you've got a Bourne franchise these days because this dude can act. But it's better off that it didn't happen, because here we are instead.
He was also in Sucker Punch, so.
He was, and Sucker Punch is, I have not revisited it since the first time I saw it. And
why
it was,
would you? Once was enough.
It was a disappointing experience for me. I was on that set, and I really, that was the first movie set that I ever visited.
I guess you have some good memories then.
I have a lot of great memories from that, and I was so disappointed that it wasn't so good, but Oscar Isaac was great in it, and it was like, one of his first really big mainstream, quote unquote, mainstream roles.
For sure. With a mustache.
Yeah, he's really good in that. And so just anytime he's getting to do his thing, I'm really on board with that. And so seeing him transform from Mark, gruff Mark, drops the mirror, and immediately his face drops, his body language changes, his voice goes up like at least half an octave. And he's Steven. And you completely buy it. And that is built purely on the back of the magic of acting. We love it.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I think that's the same way with me, right? Like, the Oscar Isaac part is what really compels me in the show. I think these moments of seeing his two selves interacting, seeing him transform from one self into another, like, obviously it's not like Chris Reeve level, which I think is like the pinnacle of that, but it is nearing and approaching that, right? Like, it's approaching the limit. But like, I think it's so great. And those are things that I enjoy, because the next scene is also a moment of just like, wait, what? And Khonshu being like, I'm sorry, what? Because he makes the puzzle into a star, which, and they basically are just like, this star has a this symbol has a constellation in it.
But this map is from like thousands of years ago, and so the stars are not going to align just so.
Correct, because the cosmos changes and shifts. Stars go out, stars move because it's expanding. The Earth also changes and shifts. The Earth actually spins. We know it spins on its axes, but the axis actually wobbles, which means at a certain point, like, the North Star that we consider Polaris was not the North Star and will not be the North Star in the future, which I think is really cool. Not in our lifetime. We'll be long dead. But that sort of stuff fascinates me. I love the cosmos. But they're like, oh, how will we know what it looks like? And Khonshu shows up. Boy just walks in, is like, oh, I remember that night.
I love that. I love that.
Here's the thing, though. If you know that night and you remember that night and you were there, why do you have to do this? Just, you know, like, do you need the map? How old are you? Shouldn't you know where the sarcophagus is? If you can remember a night 2,000 years ago, I feel like you should remember where the hell the sarcophagus of one of your other gods are. I feel like that's a thing. Like, it's so bizarre that it's just such a, like, odd thing to just be like, I remember this specific moment. Let's just reverse time to there. And I'm like, how do you not know the other parts then? Like, this seems insane.
A couple of things. One, totally fair. two, fits comfortably alongside my headcanon that Khonshu sucks.
Oh, Khonshu's an idiot? Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. That's the way to accept it, right? That's the only way to accept it, is that Khonshu's a moron.
But three, I really did love it as a character moment for Khonshu. And, like, sort of him being, like, kind of wistful about that. And being like, I remember, like, that was another time. And, like, maybe he was happier back then. Things certainly, he seems pretty angry these days. So I enjoyed that moment. I thought that was impressive that they're able to make, like, like floating bird skull head god into, like, a character that you feel for. Marvel tends to be pretty good at that these days. So
they do pretty good. Yeah. And I did love the visual of the sky changing. I thought that was awesome.
It was,
like,
beautiful.
That part was so gorgeous. Like, I thought the effect was awesome, like seeing the world spin like that and seeing all this, the lights of the stars, and then certain, yeah, shit. Like, that was really, really cool.
Yeah, that being said, Khonshu was explicitly told, if you ever do this again, we're gonna turn we're gonna stone you, dude. You're gonna get, yeah, stoned.
You're gonna get stoned.
We're gonna light,
sweet,
you up.
I love,
man.
That. I love it. What do you got? No, stoned.
Yeah.
Like, actual stone.
Like,
oh,
like a rock.
Yeah,
oh, you're getting fun. So you are getting the rock in here. Did Brendan return your calls too? Fitzpatrick? No, Fraser. And so he's gonna do it, and there he's like, all right, well, come and figure this thing out and then come find me, please. I don't want to be a rock forever.
Yeah, please tell Mark to release me.
Yeah, and so he disappears, and so presumably the suit is gone. Mark and Steven are not gonna be able
connection.
To, yeah, I don't think that they're gonna be able to be Moon Knight for a minute. So Khonshu, I feel like, made a bold choice here that I know we said Russell Hans, but this is kind of like giving the idol and the JT letter. You know, this is like, this was probably an unnecessary thing to do.
Sure, right? And I agree. There's this is the stuff that, like, the parts of the show I like are right now not the story. Because I think there's a little bit of a like questions of some weirdness, but also just like the plot sort of, like, we know it, right? Like, this is a I don't think I've ever used this in terms of the Marvel Universe before, and I know others have, and it honestly pains me to say it because I hate when people use it, but it does feel a little formulaic. Like, we're at the point where it's the halfway point. The hero is going to lose his connection to the suit. The hero will have to prove his worth by doing stuff just as himself and dealing with his own personal issues, and then at the last minute during the big climax, the suit will return. Because maybe the other gods realize what's going on, free Khonshu, the suit comes back, and the hero will save the day with his powers returned because he has proved himself as a hero. It's the standard, and maybe that won't happen, but I kind of feel like it will. And that's the part that I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't have to happen, and I agree, but it did, because, like, that's what the story is. Like, you know, like, because the story can happen,
sure,
is sort of where we are with it.
Yeah. I hear all that. I think as long as, like, the ingredients are really good,
yes,
I'm mostly fine.
And they are delicious, you know, ingredients.
And so, like, you know, stopping down on dialogue and performance stuff and just craft work is, as long as that stuff is really strong, I'm going to be happy. And
it's where it sells.
I really am excited about this character existing in the MCU. And I'm all, like, my mind is already racing with a lot of, like, oh God, what's this going to look like when he interacts with some of these people? Yeah.
Just imagine him and Thor hanging out, right? Imagine Khonshu and Thor just chatting it up.
Imagine Steven and Thor hanging out.
Oh, yes. I
like
love it.
Steven and Bruce Banner, and then Hulk and Moon Knight. Like, this is fun stuff.
This is very fun stuff. That there's a lot of potential here for a lot of good stuff. Also, minor detail, but again, we're talking about the parts that we like, right? And like we talked about the acting. I think there's so much in the dialogue. I think there's so much of the set design and just the craftsmanship. This is so silly, but, like, honestly, that little statue of Khonshu I thought was, like, dope looking. Like,
yeah.
I saw that statue and I was like, damn, that actually looked really cool. It, like, I really enjoyed the design work on that. So, like, props to the prop team, I guess, for making that, whoever, like, put that together, because I thought it was really awesome. And I really liked, like, when Ethan Hawke picks it up. There's just something about that craftsmanship that really stuck out to me, which is very odd, because I'm not, like, an art guy. Like, I don't really like going to art museums most of the time, but, like, that one stuck out.
Yeah. So, Khonshu gets entombed in rocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did what they said they would do. And so Mark is passed out and Steven is passed out and we don't know who's going to wake up. And we don't know what they're going to do now that they don't have Khonshu looking over their shoulder, but they do have the coordinates to the place they need to go. So that's all good.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Harrow is going to have the closing moment of the episode where he's going to talk to the figurine. And basically say, here's my dirty secret. I'm always angry. No, here's my dirty secret. I loved
killing
Khonshu. It was great. It was really
fun.
Oh
boy, do I love murder.
I have to be honest with you. Like, it felt great to do your justice. It's the greatest sin I carry, though. And I'm very thankful that you just, like, shattered me, because in so doing, I am now ready to do the things that you never could have done. So it's like this big sort of like menacing monologue-y moment that I'm sure Ethan Hawke just had such a good time putting together. That's basically the note that we leave the episode on.
Yeah, and I also really like the fact that, like, they didn't do what I thought would be, like the trope, which is that you had this moment where it's Osiris, I think, is who that was. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Oh, it was? Okay. Osiris is leading
This is the Ennead that was referenced earlier in the show. So
the Egyptian pantheon.
It's, good for Steven. I guess, like, it's probably best for Steven to not have been in the room for any of that.
Well, he
would have
so
just, like,
excited in the
he would have just, he just
so
would have,
fun.
He would have fanned out really hard.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I imagine that Steven is going to be the key to, like, recruiting the Ennead. Like, oh, you guys aren't anything like I read in the stories. You're all cowards. You're not acting like you used to be. They're like, he's right. Something like that, I feel like, is coming.
Yeah, I think verbatim, that's the dialogue. You got it.
Yeah.
I like that they didn't do the trope, which would have been in this moment as he's talking to Osiris and he's just like, can he hear us or whatever? And he's like, no. Or he says, I think so. Because I thought it was going to be like a no. And then they'll be like, good, our plan is in motion. And I'm really glad that that's not the case.
I was wondering about that, too.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that, like, another god won't be. It doesn't mean that, Khonshu's old flame isn't working with Harrow or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I like that this wasn't that. Because it easily could have been, and it would have been tropey. So I'm glad that they did swerve on this account, for sure.
For sure. All right. So that's the end of the episode. We've got some feedback, Kevin, that I want to get into. First is from the aforementioned Brendan Fitzpatrick, who writes in and says, heavy Eternals vibes with the gods and avatars in this episode. Wonder if there's a more direct connection between the two of them and their choice to cut themselves off from humanity. There was a solid 10 minutes where I was expecting an Eternals cameo. On that note, if we were to get one of the Eternals, which one would it be, or which one would you want?
Interesting. I don't know which Eternals would make the most sense here to have in, I guess, of the spoilers.
One's
still alive.
Yeah, a bunch of them have been, like, zapped off of Earth.
And some of them were dead.
One. I'll tell you, the one that I want isn't an Eternal, but is a character from the Eternals. I would love to see
Jon Snow.
I would love to see Jon Snow. I'd love to see Kit Harington show back up here as what is his name? Dane. Dane something or other that I'm blanking on right now. I'm going to get tweeted at, so I got to get it right. Black Knight. Dane Whitman. I would love to see Dane Whiteman. Would be great. I would love to see him because he's clearly connected to Blade via the Mahershala Ali vocal cameo at the end of the Eternals. If Dane Knight or Dane Whitman rather comes and hangs out with if Black Knight comes to Moon Knight, then Blade
can't
be far behind.
Mormon,
yeah. So Like, that would be great. I would love
Misty
that.
Misty Knight, like God, yeah! It's all there. The Night Squad or something.
The Dark Knight, get Batman in here. I would love this. This would be great. And that is that's who I would like to see. I'd like to see that as like a end credits cameo. It would be fun.
I mean, maybe Makari, because Makari is just very fun with her speed. I will, in defense of the gods, by the way, they didn't, you know, peace out on humanity. According to them, humanity turned their back on them. So that's humanity's deal, which is true.
Yes.
We don't really worship Egyptian gods anymore. So really, it is on us.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This is from Zach. Zach said, I enjoyed this episode a lot, but I think next week I really need Mark and Steven and Layla to get a win. I guess you could say there was one at the end here, but also at a very big cost. And I feel like we need Harrow to face some adversity because it feels like he hasn't yet. He just always gets what he wants. Kevin, is it going to be enough to put all of that off for the end of the show? Or does the tide need to turn in this way as soon as next week for you?
The tide needs to start to turn, right? Like, I still think it's going to be a hero's, you know, start to upturn, but still in a matter of consequence. It's going to be the decision moment. I'm going off of, like, the story arcs, but it's all right here. So it's going to be the hero's, like, decision moment. There will be a big threat. The hero's going to have to make a choice to prove himself, and that's what the next episode is going to be. And then the fifth episode will be the climax, which will be probably the big battle, and then six will probably be the denouement. That's my thought on it. But like, yeah, I would like some good stuff coming their way, some wins. What I'm going to enjoy, I think, the most about next week is the chance to see Steven and Mark interacting without the suit, without Khonshu. Yes. I think without Khonshu and without the suit, we're going to get a really big focus onto who they are, before all this. And I think that's interesting. I think that's really cool. And that'll be something fun to really get, to get a peek into.
So this comes from Riley, who has a take that surprisingly is in contrast with one of your takes, Kevin, because you two tend to agree a lot.
Not on Daredevil.
Everything.
We had a whole discussion about
it. No, you two tend to agree on everything involving Daredevil as well, especially hallway fights. Riley had written in and said, I love the Indiana Jones style adventure episode and really loved the episode being with Mark in control. I needed an episode with Mark majorly in control, and I really disagree with Kevin's take on the last podcast that Mark is just a boring brooding type. Mark is the character that actually knows about the situation in this body, and seeing him struggle with his mental health and how it impacts him, and seeing someone so competent and badass being unable to do what he knows he could do because of his own mental health was really interesting. I also think this was Oscar Isaac's best performance so far. Seeing him stating, I'm not well, was haunting and tragic.
I mean, I guess it's just, the mental health aspect, I think, is interesting, but how is that manifested? It's manifested with him being like, I need to push away this person I love because now the story is going to be focused on me. And I get it. Like, that is that there is elements of realism there, but it's also troping into that territory of like, we're not going to care about the emotional effect it's going to have on Layla. And ultimately it'll be fine that Mark did this because he was trying to protect her by being a total asshole.
Yeah.
And again, like the parts of Mark that I've seen in terms of like being the brawn and getting the fighting done is that part is not anything new to me. I do think the mental illness part is new and interesting, but I lend a lot of that to Steven as well. Right. Like the Steven of it all still applies to parts of that.
Yeah.
But again, it's fine. Oscar Isaac is doing a good job with it. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like he sucks, which would have made everything bad.
No, he's terrific.
He's great.
Yeah, he's terrific. Last one. This comes from Dylan. Dylan says, when something occurs like Khonshu messing with the night sky, I always just wonder who it is on the Avengers that's looking up and saying, what the fuck?
Exactly. That's what I said.
So my question for you then, Kevin, is which Avenger is that? Which Avenger is looking up at the sky right now and everything's going haywire? And he's like, what the F is going
Who's
on?
Who's a real stargazer?
I feel like Hawkeye Ant-Man probably is like, come on, again.
I see all Ant-Man this doing stuff. It, right? I see Ant-Man and Cassie hanging out, looking at the stars. Like, he's trying to, like, tell her what constellations are, and he's absolutely incorrect. And then that happens, and he's like, oh, no.
Yeah, oh, nuts. Yeah, I think Hawkeye would be fun of, like, oh, man, even after going to Vormir and everything, I'm just not quite used to this.
I feel like Bruce is probably checking out the skies for obvious past reasons. So
yeah, I think that given like the Shang-Chi of it all and certain things like pinging on him and Carol's radar, that maybe they're going to be interested in what's going on here in Egypt. We're building a team. Stuff like that, I think, is going to start coming together. All right, Kevin, next week, episode 4, we will be on the other side of the halfway mark. here on the halfway mark, Spectre, here on Moon Knight. Get your feedback in super@postshowrecaps.com. Comes directly to us. You can also tweet at us @postshowrecaps. I'm at Round Howard. Kevin is at Kev Mahadeo. You can hang out with us in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord as well. If you want to sign up to become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. In addition to hanging out with Kevin and myself and so many other people in the Everything is Super community and the Post Show Recaps community, Kevin, people can also get access to your patron only podcast, YA, which is currently talking through all things Hogwarts, even as it's about to take a quick little teensy tiny break.
Yeah, we're taking a little bit of a break because Kevin's going on a journey.
Yes.
We're going to have a little pause down. We have an episode that we're doing that's sort of like us just talking through some fan theories from back in the day, just kind of having a really fun chat about where we are right now and some other broader Harry Potter stuff. So that's going to be a fun like mini episode we're going to do. So check that out. But it also gives you a fantastic time, not a fantastic beastly time, to catch up on the previous episodes if you haven't been, to check out what we've done so far,
really
what we've
fun.
Talked about so far, and the journey we've been on. And I'll say, since it happened, it was really exciting the last feedback show that we had, because our guest on there was a first time podcaster, someone people has heard me talk about before, my fiance Robin.
Yes.
Guest on the first time ever, and we talked about Order of the Phoenix in the feedback show, and it was a real, real, real good time.
It was a real treat. I was listening to it the other day and having a really good time hearing Robin on the podcast. So that should be some incentive for people. She was great. The conversation was great. The whole YA podcast has been a totally fun ride thus far, and I look forward to it resuming really soon here, Kevin. Next week, we resume the Moon Knight conversation here on Everything is Super. Until then, Josh Wiggler, karaoke man, take it away.
Once upon a time, he worked at the gift shop, and now his mind is falling apart. Working for Khonshu, a dude named Steven and named Mark.